Section 3 of Growth Track 3, Enemies of Surrender. And so we're going to talk about surrender, and we're going to talk about fear. Now, we're not going to surrender to fear, but we're going to talk about both of these things, about the enemies of surrender, and then we're going to jump into fear. Is there anything that either one of you really, really fear today? Well, number one, you don't know what the Spirit's doing to your mother, in her mother, when your mother. We've got to commit her, number one. We've got to commit her to God. We can't save her. Only God can. And pray that God's Holy Spirit will settle upon her, will talk to her. And he has many, many messengers that he can talk to your mother about her soul. And you can't save her. But you can just witness, love her, and every chance you get, speak a little word. But basically give her, turn, release her to Jesus. That's all right. God can break down all those walls. Yes. All right. She can, oh, there's so many, she can hear something. She can, the birds can, there's many ways. So don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying and in fasting and praying for your mom that those walls are going to come down and she's going to receive Jesus and joy of salvation. Anybody else? You have a specific fear. Go ahead. Someone told me, I think it was today, that they have a fear and keep having a recurring dream that something bad is going to happen to one of their family members. And she told me that her husband is a pastor, and they were in a revival with an evangelist. And so her husband said, tell the evangelist about this recurring fear that that you have this dream that you're having every night of some fearful thing that's going to happen. And so he did, and he prayed for her. And then he said, before you go to bed tonight, you commit that dream and that fear experience to God. And so her husband prayed for her that night when they went to bed, and that was lifted. She never has been bothered with it anymore. So anybody else have fear? Oh, we really, a lot of us, we fear death in ourselves. We fear the darkness. We fear a fire. Claustrophobic. Get in tight situations and you lose control. Oh. Some has a fear of going out of the house. And especially going out of the house at night. Anybody afraid of the darkness when you turn out the lights at night? Is anybody gripped with fear? No. Fear is real. Fear can paralyze you. And I'll tell you one big fear that I had for a number of years. And I hope I'm not going to be emotional, but I'm going to tell you about this. As many of you probably know, that my husband was in Pinecrest for 2.5 years before he passed away this coming Saturday, a year ago. But he had 4 or 5 seizures over the last 15 years. He had not had one in years. But when he did have one, they were nocturnal. They were just at night. And every night, I think without me exaggerating at all, every night when I turned off that light, immediately, this fear that he'll have a seizure tonight. It's awful. If you've ever witnessed a grand mal seizure, it is awful. But every night, when I turn the light off, and I just had to rebuke it every night, that God, you have not given me this spirit of fear, and I'm giving it to you. And you know, I had to, I don't know where I really got this, but I had to ask myself, what is the worst thing that can happen if he has a seizure? What's the worst thing that could happen? So anyway, I don't have to do that anymore. God delivered me and him. So he's rejoicing and he's at rest with God. And I'm at rest at home. I have no more fears about that. But there are always fearful things that happen. Even every day, fearful things that can bring a fear into our heart. Well, but we're going to talk about enemies of surrender. So I am a surrender from me sitting here tonight, because over the last 2.5 years, and maybe even before that, I haven't spoken. I had other things on my mind, and it was too hard for me to clear my mind to even get a subject together, and I wasn't physically or emotionally able to speak. And so just now in the last few weeks, months, it seems like I'm crossing into a different sphere, and God is renewing me and stirring a new thing in my heart. And so when he's just been talking to me and doing a great work of releasing in the spirit, and I could just feel a new anointing coming over me. So I thought, well, this is not just for me. It's for me to share. And so Talia had been after me to would you? Will you? And so I surrendered. And so I have been doing some, Caleb's have Tuesday Sunday school. And so I have been helping some with teaching the lesson on Tuesday mornings for Caleb's. And then this is my first experience with this and with you. But I had a fear of meeting you. I had fear of coming and speaking to you. So that's why I prayed, because I need his help tonight. And because if I can just give you a little bit of what I feel in my spirit, but I need the Spirit's help. But it's not by might, it's not by power, because I don't have any might, I don't have any power, except through the Holy Spirit of God. So we're going to jump into this tonight, and we're going to talk about surrender, first of all. So I am a surrendered body for Jesus tonight, and I want him just to speak through me. But God never intended for us to simply believe in him and never move forward. But I'm so proud of you guys that you're coming ahead, and I assume that you've gone through Grow Track 1, 2, and 3, right? And so you have presented yourself to grow. And I love that in you. So I hope that you will continue. And when you get through with here, I want you to go into Encounter. It is marvelous. I'm involved in that and involved here. But it is just awesome what God is doing. And thank God for our church and for the leadership, our pastors that have given us this opportunity to grow in our knowledge of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we God intends for us to grow. I am assuming that every one of you have given your heart and life to Jesus and know the joy of salvation. So I'm assuming that. So if you haven't, tonight's the night for you to surrender to Jesus. But anyway, God wants us to grow. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The boy Samuel, the prophet Samuel, continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The child John the Baptist grew and became strong in spirit, So Jesus wants us to grow in him and in the power of his might. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 says, and how many of you brought your Bible? I see several Bibles. Great, great, great. Or you have your phone. All right. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 says, make every effort, and it is an effort, to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. You don't have to make a baby grow, do you? If you feed that baby, the minute he's grown, he starts growing. It's just his nature to grow. And you feed that baby, give him some love and nourishment, and he's going to grow. He will grow, and keep feeding that baby, and he will keep getting strong and big. But Paul speaks to us about baby Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, dear brothers, and he's talking to the Corinthian believers, I've been talking to you as though you were still just babies in the Christian life who are not following the Lord but your own desires. I cannot talk to you as I would to healthy Christians who are filled with the Spirit. I have had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't digest anything any stronger. And even now, you still have to be fed on milk, for you are still only baby Christians, controlled by your own desires, not God's. Now, that sounds like a child, doesn't it? That wants his own way, when he wants it, and how he wants it. But he said, when you are zealous for one another and divide up quarreling groups, doesn't that prove that you're still babies? Because that's the way children act. But even Christians, and he said, you Corinthians, are acting like that. But the Holy Spirit desires growth in God and through him. How does anyone grow? We grow physically, mostly by eating. If we keep on eating, then we grow strong. Add to your faith in Christ Jesus, another great gift he has given you. And God has given us wonderful gifts of salvation. You come to him, he gives you life and life eternal. It's joy in salvation. But there's also a wonderful gift that he gives you as a helper and a strengthener of you, and it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's the next normal thing for a Christian to happen to a Christian after they come to the Lord Jesus. The next normal thing is for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. Now, when you're saved, the Spirit does come in a measure. We have the Spirit draws us. Without the Spirit, you can't be saved. But that there is that indwelling of the Spirit when we come to Jesus. But then when coming to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now he comes to live in us as our helper. So we thank God for the Spirit, that he is our helper. This person of the Holy Spirit is within us. He's our strengthener, and he's by your side. And he can help you live that surrendered life to Jesus. He's your helper. He's your friend. He's your advocate. He's the one that prays through you and intercedes for you through the Spirit of God. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, it's the gift that God has given to you. It's a gift. Can't work for it. Can't earn it. But he has the Spirit of God for you, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I couldn't tell you the day that I got saved. Now that may shock you. But when I was a little girl, my mother would pray at the first seat in church. Not at the altar, but the first seat. And I can just see her now. But when she knelt to pray, I knelt beside her. She cried and I cried. And so that's the way that I grew up. So I just grew into salvation, I suppose. But I don't remember ever just saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Now, I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember that. I remember the night. I know where I was. I was lying under the grand piano we're in a revival, and our evangelist had several daughters that were there, and I think I was 13, 12 or 13. And during this revival, it was a time to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we had tearing around the altars. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Tearing around the altar. Well, these knew. Any of you? You did?
I think I have an idea.
You think you have an idea? Oh, how much you've missed. How much you've missed. But I'm from the old school. The old school. So I will soon be, in a few more days, I will be 82. But this is all that I've known, is Pentecostal Assemblies of God Church. How many of you are not Assembly of God background?
Got here as quick as
you could. Good.
Scared to death, by the way, of the Holy Spirit, just so you know, before I got here.
That Holy Ghost,
that
huh?
That can be a fear, too. Yeah.
That's a fear. How many will admit that you're afraid of the Holy Ghost? Well, you're not afraid. Good. Good. So if you are and didn't admit it, cast it out. Cast it out and stay in there until you have been filled with the Spirit. It's the answer. I know I am not following my notes, Mark, but we're going to get through this. We are in ERA of the United Pentecostal. And if you don't know what they believe you're not saved until you speak in tongues. False. That ain't the truth. It is for saved people. It's for you. But you don't, it's for saved. It doesn't save you. It doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. It is separate from your salvation. It's the other blessing that has for you. Okay, we're going to move on. One of the great, and if you have a question, flag me. One of the greatest enemies of greater spiritual growth is the lack of a surrendered life. So to be filled with the Spirit, it calls for a surrender. Just surrender it all to God. Whatever you want from me, I want it. What you have for me, I want it. I want all that you have for me. We choose to hold on to our old life. We must not be only saved. We must learn to live lives of surrender. And that's every day dying to the flesh. There's that war that goes on between the flesh and the Spirit. And we don't make sure that the Spirit wins. The one you feed is the one that's going to feed, one that's going to grow. You live to the flesh and you're going to die of the flesh. You live to the Spirit and you're going to be healthy and grow in spiritual life. But even today, I surrendered to this, combat my fear of meeting you, forgive of you. I don't know what I thought you might would do. But you know, it's my, I thought somebody else can do this much, much better than I can. They are more gifted in speaking than I am. But anyway, I said, I will do it. I will do it. I saw something online today, and I think it's the words of a song. I don't even know. But it said, you are the fire, we are the temple. You are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people. You are the light, we stand in awe of you. And it's not by might, this was kind of the chorus, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord. So we just say, Send your spirit, Lord, on all of us. Let it fall. Let it fall on me. And let me be under that, where that's falling. Let me be under it. All right, fear. What is fear? Can you give me a definition of fear?
False evidence appearing real.
It's what now?
False evidence appearing real.
There it is. It's a strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. It's a strong emotional feeling, isn't it? The fear, F-E-A-R, is a false evidence appearing real. So when fear grabs a hold of you, it is real, isn't it? The Bible teaches that fear is both an emotion and spirit. The emotion of fear is of God. He puts within us that we should be afraid of, to stay away from it. Don't touch it. Don't get involved in it. Stay away from that. That's the emotion of fear, and that's good and healthy. We tell our children, you know, don't touch that. It's hot. But invariably, they'll want to touch it just to see. But there's that emotion of fear, but there's a spirit of fear that will absolutely get a hold of you and change what's just a make-believe into something that feels really strong. But 2 Timothy 1:7, mark this down, memorize it. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear. So where does it come from? It comes from the enemy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now I want you to grab on to that love, because we're going to talk about that. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So just put that in your mind. The phrase fear not is used at least 80 times in the Bible, which means God knows the enemy would try to make us fearful. And the enemy knows, if I can get you afraid, then I've got a foothold in. So we need to take control of whatever fear that faces you day by day. The emotion of fear is good, but the spirit of fear is bad. Fear hath torment, the scripture says. Fear has torment. Don't fear tomorrow. God's already there. How fear works against us. Fear causes us to doubt ourselves and our abilities. Is that right? Fear causes us to doubt ourselves and our abilities. Is everything okay? Okay. See, I doubted myself. I doubted my abilities. That was fear, wasn't it? So how did I overcome it? I just said, I'll do it. He'll make you afraid that you can't. Fear causes to doubt God and others. If someone tells you they're going to do something, well, you've always got that doubt. Are they really going to come through? Are they true to their word? Are they just, they would if they could, but something's liable to happen. Fear causes us to miss out on unique opportunities in life and in ministry. Fear could cause me to miss out on a lot of good opportunities and things that God would have me to do. Here's some things about opportunities. A pessimist is somebody who complains about the noise when opportunity knocks. Opportunity knocks on only once. You never know if you'll have another opportunity. Opportunities are like sunrise. If you wait too long, you'll miss it. Dream the impossible. Know that you are born in this world to do something wonderful and unique. Only you can do. There was a Queen Esther. I hope you'll all remember a little bit about her. But the Jewish people were just about to be annihilated. And so her uncle came to her, and she was already the queen's of the area. And so she said, okay, I will go before the king. But you know, if he doesn't hold out to me the scepter, he could kill me. But if you'll fast and pray for me, I'll go and present this need of my people before the Pharaoh. And said, for her uncle said, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from another person, but you and your father's family will perish. Just because you're the queen doesn't mean that you won't perish too, because you're a Jew. And who knows but you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. So who knows but what you have come in the place you are for the kingdom of God's sake. And God has put you where he wants you and where you are today. Take it that God has you here for a special purpose, and wherever he wants to lead you, surrender and go where he wants you to go. Fear prevents us from committing, fear presents us from connecting in intimacy and depth of relationship with others. Are you afraid to commit yourself to someone and be vulnerable to them and let them really see who you are? Fear paralyzes and prevents us from moving forward, keeps us from reading the Word, keeps us from studying, keeps us from praying, can't steal my mind long enough to read and enough to study. And that's just the work of the enemy, to take your mind away and where you can't keep your mind settled enough to read the Word. So he's going to fight you about reading the Word and for praying. There's some Bible heroes that battled with fear. Moses feared his mission and being God's mouthpiece. He said, oh God, I'm slow of speech. Call Aaron. Aaron is a better speaker. Call him. But then you know what happened, that Moses surrendered. He was on the backside of the desert. And he saw a bush that was on fire and it wasn't burning up. So he turned aside to see it. And when he turned aside to see this burning bush, God spoke to him out of that bush and called him. And he surrendered. And he said, yes, I will send Aaron with you, but you're going to be God to Aaron. I will give you what to say, and you tell Aaron, and Aaron will speak for you to the Pharaoh. What a powerful team they became. And you know the story about Moses led the children of Israel. Peter feared being captured by the Romans and Jewish Pharisees. The Israelites feared going without their basic needs met when they went into the desert. There are 12 spies that Moses sent out, Joshua sent out to explore the land of Canaan. They went and they came back with a report and said, oh, it was the land of the giants. They were big. In our sight, we were just grasshoppers to them. There's no way we can go into this promised land. But there were two that said, oh, yes, we are quite able to go. And that was Joshua and Caleb. They said, we saw the Nephilim there. And the descendants of Anak, the giants, were the Nephilims. We felt as small as grasshoppers, and that's how we must have looked to them. So what happened? Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that got to go into the Canaan land. The others, all under above 40 years of age, they died in the wilderness. They buried all of them there. The others marched around waiting for those to die. They marched around for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness, waiting for those over 40 to die. These biblical heroes of the faith struggled with fears of all sorts, and yet God helped them not only to conquer their fears, but also led them to great victories as they leaned away from fear and onto to him to provide what they felt they lacked to succeed. God's going to help us. All right. How are we doing on time? Got how to overcome fear. So this is what we want to know, isn't it? Identify the true source of your fear. If you can tell, you may say, I don't even know what I'm afraid of. I'm just afraid. I'm just fearful. But if you can identify the true source of your fear, unmask that you're afraid of. Where is this fear coming from? What's behind the fear? Why am I fearful? Now, if you can find that answer, then you're on your way to get rid of it. Yes, Mark?
That number one again, you know. But then I have to come back to the thing and say, okay, Lord.
To the root.
You are my source.
You've got to get to the root.
It's not, and that's the root. The root is that you don't trust the source. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to come back to the source.
You have to go to the source. Yes, absolutely, Pam.
I think a lot.
Fear of losing control. Isn't that a big fear? As long as I can control. There's enough on our news to make us fearful.
Well, I think a lot of people just are completely overwhelmed with fear all the time.
Men's hearts fail them for fear of the things that are coming on this earth. And we don't know. Anything could happen at any time. But our trust is in God to keep us. He is our source. And we ask for His protection. Lead us today in your path. You know, you can actually just listen to so much of it until it gets a hold of you. Exactly. You just have to turn the television off because it hinders your faith. You don't know if it's fake news or what. Right. And the 5:30 news, I'm telling you, the last few nights, it's just one crisis after another. It's just the whole world is in a crisis. Right. That's what I was going to say. I was waiting for him. We've read the back of the book. Troubles will come. They're going to come. They've got to come to fulfill the word of God. So, but we're not to be a part of that. We're living by the Spirit of God, and He's taking care of. He's leading us step by step, and He will take us safely home.
People are watching us.
Yes.
People that
oh, yes.
Want to see how we walk through this.
Yes.
Because that, the word of our testimony is what's going to bring them. They're going to say, wow, I want that.
Yes.
You know, how can they have peace in this
world? How we act and react to this world, yes, is a testimony. Yes, that's the way that we can be a testimony.
When our son died, people...
There's the deep peace that covers it all. It's not peace without trouble. It's peace in trouble. Because the trouble's going to come. We're living in a wicked, evil world. And so just, it's all around us. And however we choose to live above it. And how are we going to live above it? With the power of the Spirit. The Spirit will help us, will bring things to our remembrance, and will keep us and tell us things to come. So that's the Spirit. We need it. We need Him in this day more than ever before. We need the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Running from our fear is not good. We can't run away from it. It's going to follow us wherever we go, right?
Yep.
So face your fears. Don't run from them. Running from them gives them strength. Ignoring them keeps you stagnant and unmoving. Our mind can run away with us, can't it? Facing our fears weakens them. There's a Bryn Brown, who's a researcher at the University of Houston Graduate School, said this, I think the first thing we have to do is figure out what's keeping us out of the arena. What's the fear? Where and why do we want to be braver? Then we have to figure out how we're currently protecting ourselves from vulnerability. Our self-preservation is strong, isn't it? What is our armor? Perfectionism? Intellectualizing? Cynicism? Numbing? Control? That's where I started, he said. It's not an easy walk into that arena, but it's where we come alive. When it comes to fear, psychologist Naomi Schaffner said the only way out is through. That's a good sentence. The only way out of our fear is through it. Face it. Go through it. And that's what I'm doing. And it's true, one of the most effective ways to banish fear is to repeatedly force yourself to face what you're afraid of. Research has found that this repeated exposure lowers the psychological fear response until it is more manageable or in some cases gone. So God give us the courage to identify what we're afraid of, commit it to God, and ask Him to free us and deliver us from that fear. There's one thing that is, I think, everybody that ever has to do this, there's a fear of public speaking. Anybody just really like to? You have no problem with it. Well, it's just getting up in front of somebody, connecting to others, trying something new. It's hard. I don't know what will happen. I don't know if I'll fail. I don't know how to do that. Trying something new. Fear of someone who hurt you in the past. I'll not let anybody else hurt me, so I'll not be vulnerable to anybody else. Lies the enemy has said about you. Somebody has said something to you that made you fearful. It put a fear in your heart. Now, how about this one? A guilty conscience makes you afraid. Afraid someone's going to catch you. Oh, they found out. Right. Replace the fears. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Yes, you make you fear God. I've got to get rid of this before I come to God. Yeah. He's mad at me. But you have an accuser of the brethren. And that's your enemy, Satan. He's your accuser. He accuses you to God. Replace the fears, ultimately the lies, with faith and the truth of what God says about Himself and about you and your situation. So we just need to ask God for His help and help me to remember and remind myself who I am in God and who He is to me. So here's some scriptures and to help us overcome fear. The Bible teaches that when a person dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he will abide in the shadow of the Almighty and thus will not fear the terror of the night nor the arrow that flies by day. That's from Psalm 91. You just hide yourself in Psalm 91. This is possible because such a person will come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Wonderful. All right, let me ask you, what is the opposite?
Get your mic back.
What is the opposite of fear? Faith, trust,
surrender.
Love is the opposite. Love is the opposite. Remember, God loves us. And if we made perfect in perfect love, casteth out fear. Alyssa, when your little boys cry at night, "Mama, I'm afraid of the dark." Did that ever happen? So what did you do? So what did you do?
I still go and get them hugs and stuff like that. Yes, comfort.
Perfect love cast out fear in that child. Does that help you to know that love is the opposite of fear? And what do we do when we go to God with our fear? He loves us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I know all about it. I know all the details. Don't be afraid. You're my child. I love you. I love you. Anybody else have a testimony about fear that God helped you with?
But we can control how we respond.
Yes, that's all we can do. It's how we respond. Our response to it is all we can control. Well, God help us to live a life that's surrendered to Him, free from fear. If you have secret fears tonight, surrender them to God. Give them to Him. Trust Him to take care of it, because He will. He will take care of it. Give it to Him. Talk to Him about it. Share it with Him. God, I'm afraid of this, and I'm worried about that. I'm more worried if what's going to happen to me the rest of my life, you know? What if my money runs out? What if I don't have enough money to do this? What about my house? What about my kids? What about my grandchildren? And, you know, they're not serving God and all that. Give it to God. Give it to God. He doesn't mean for us to carry it. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and where I am, you're going to be also. Praise God. Can we just say praise God for His power to deliver us from every fear? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you now for your word. Help us, God. You are our helper. So we cling to you tonight, and thank you for a life of liberty and freedom and victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit of God. Well, God bless you.